First of all, I'd like to say that I think when I was asked what I was going to talk about, I gave a bit of a longer answer than enlightenment, what is it, I think, appeared on the publicity. I think when Tejas Finney rang me up, I said, well, I'll talk about this. It'll be something like, you know, what is enlightenment? What is mindfulness? What is the goal? Where are we going and where are we at? And that is, I think, what I want to talk about this evening. This is a bit of an experiment for me at the moment. As probably a few of you figured out, I don't actually see awfully well. So I'm afraid I am just going to be poking me a little head out over the lectern, and I'm afraid I do, you know, will not be making eye contact. And so if you just kind of bear with me, I could probably use perhaps computer equipment maybe another time, another context, to get my sort of auto cue, so to speak. But I'm just experimenting at the moment with using really large print, and so I'll try and pick my way through it as best I can. And the basic structure I'd like to follow is I want to talk first of all about enlightenment a little, and stream entry and insight. I will tend to be sort of using those terms as equivalents for the purpose of this talk. So I'm going to talk about enlightenment a little, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about me, and then I want to talk about the Buddha, and then I want to talk about me and the Buddha, and then I want to talk about in more detail about enlightenment, what the Buddha attained. And then probably, hopefully, weave back and forth between all that and hopefully tie it all together and conclude. And I hope, at least I will communicate in such a way that I can communicate my enthusiasm for the Dharma. But really what I want to communicate is that it is possible for us to gain insight. It really is possible for us to gain enlightenment and at least stream entry. And for those of you who are new to the tradition, I will say a few words about stream entry. The Buddhist tradition says that there are basically 10 fetters that stop us being enlightened. There are 10 things that we do, 10 ways we use our mind, 10 ways we use our perceptions, that get in the way of us experiencing things as they really are, get in the way of us experiencing reality. But there's a point, they are successive, or there's an element of succession about these 10 fetters. And if you can break the first 3 of these fetters, you reach a stage of irreversibility, which means enlightenment is assured. It means you will totally be able to see reality directly. All the problems in your life will clear up. You will be free. And I think that is amazingly optimistic. Yeah. I think, you've only got to break 3 of the 10. I mean, you know, it's sort of like the scales are balanced on our side. Yeah. And I'll say something briefly about the 3 fetters that we break. And according to tradition, they tend to all 3 go together. And what they are the first fetter is personality view. The second fetter is over-reliance on rites and rituals, and the third fetter is skeptical doubt, or doubt and indecision. And to overcome the first fetter, you need to realize that there's no part of you, your being, from top to bottom, that is not ultimately changeable. If you know that, the core of your being, you will have broken the first fetter. You can change. Not as a theory, but you know it as an actuality. You can change. And the second fetter is over-reliance on rites and rituals as ends in themselves. It's no use going through the motions and thinking you're going to grow spiritually. It's no use sort of sitting down cross-legged with eyes closed for an hour thinking about what you watched on telly last night. You know what I mean? It's not going to work. If you've got that as a hindrance and you're working with it, that's fair enough. But it's the idea that we can just go through the motions. It's sort of about externals. It's about superficiality, if you like. So you have to realise that unless you put in the effort, unless you do what you need to do, you will not change. And the third fetter is skeptical doubt, or doubt and indecision. That's classically is one deliberately keeps things confused so one doesn't have to commit oneself. The classic one is the person who says, of course, meditation doesn't work. It wouldn't work for me. You know, I know that never does. It wouldn't be possible. Oh, have you tried meditating? No, of course not. I can't be bothered. It doesn't work, does it? That is skeptical doubt. One's not even willing to try. One's not even willing to commit oneself to try and do it. One's decision is in no way informed. It's a way of holding things at a distance. It's a way of keeping reality at a certain distance. Yeah. And another element of skeptical doubt is, if you overcome this, all one's doubts about the Dharma are cleared up. All one's lack of shraddha, if you like, one's lack of confidence in the Dharma is cleared up as well. That's another element. And to say, all these 3 fetters, I mean, I could probably give a talk just on that, actually. I'm afraid I'm going to be racing through quite a few things and concepts this evening. But when those 3 have gone, you've broken the first 3 fetters, yeah? Personality view, rites and rituals, and doubt and indecision. You have reached a stage of irreversibility. You've changed yourself to the degree that enlightenment is assured. You will gain enlightenment sooner or later. And that's great, yeah? You've got another seven to do that you haven't even touched, but you will do it. So I think that's something to be really optimistic about. And I think kind of optimism is this sort of like the message of my talk this evening, I think, that we need to have confidence in our spiritual lives, confidence in our abilities to change, confidence in our abilities to gain insight.